This is Rita Barrett from Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for March the 7th, 2021. My name's Sheldon, and I am here, as usual, with Jill. It is our weekly half-hour information program, news about radio from home and around the world. And we have a bunch of international stories coming up for you this week. If you would like to reach us, email address, radioreport@yahoo.com. You can listen to us live streaming or archived at ckut.ca. And you can join our Facebook group, International Radio Report, where we welcome four new members this week. We say hello to Skip, Augustin, David, and Carmen, all joining us this week. Look for us on Facebook. Simply search for International Radio Report. We had some chilly weather for the past few days here in Montreal. It looked like we were getting traces of spring, but now it's got back to a little chilly again. So, but we are in March. We have the time change coming up shortly. I mean, what is it, 2 weeks from now or a week from now?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's
early. Yeah, so you'll have to make your internal adjustments to make sure you don't lose us. We always have difficulty with that switch here at CKUT until we get the computers caught up on everything. So you may have to dance around a little to find us when that happens. But we'll give you all the info on that when the time comes.
Yep.
We do have some info, though, from CKUT to pass along to start off the show. For those that don't know, if you're new to our program, CKUT is located in Montreal, just off the campus of McGill University in downtown Montreal. The radio station is funded through a couple main sources, one through the a portion of student fees from McGill University. And the other major part is a funding drive that's held by the station each year. We have news of the 2021 funding drive, and it's coming up very shortly. CKUT has decided to hold a 2021 funding drive taking place from March the 18th to the 28th of March. And that will mark one full year of CKUT operating remotely, like we are doing the show. The theme of this year's drive, borrowed from last year's canceled funding drive, is sowing the seeds of grassroots radio. So we'll have all of the details on this coming up in the next week. You can watch the CKUT website for more information as well, ckut.ca. And as soon as we get all the details, we'll give you that on the program. And we hope that we can count on some support from our listeners, as we always have in the past. We've always been very thankful for the support from our listeners. So we'll get you up to date on all of that as soon as we have it all for you. Next, we have a story, an update to the situation going on with Radio Canada International and the RCI Action Committee. This past week, two articles supportive of the mission to reestablish a viable Radio Canada International service have appeared in two Canadian newspapers. The first one was by David Carment, Richard Nemejian, and Wojtek Viazda in the Ottawa Citizen. It is headlined, "Cuts to Radio Canada International Can Only Hurt Canada's Image and Influence Abroad." That appeared on the 2nd of March in the Ottawa Citizen. And the second one is by Peter Menzies, a contributor to the Toronto Star. On February 23rd, he wrote an article, "Neither CRTC nor CBC Following the Law by Allowing the Dismantling of Radio Canada International." So they're quite lengthy articles. I think if you're interested in this story, you should take a look at them. You can find both articles by checking out the RCI Action Committee blog, and you'll find that at rciaction.org/blog/, and also on the RCI Action Committee Twitter, which you can find at twitter.com/RCI_action. And we'll put up links to those on our Facebook page as well. A lot of activity going on, a lot of comments coming in from some very high profile people as well. it's not dead yet. It's on life support, but there's a lot of activity going on and a lot of support coming in. So we keep our fingers crossed. We encourage you to send in your comments as well. And you can comment on these two articles. You can post items up on the blog and on the Twitter account as well. So we hope to hear from some of you with respect to Radio Canada International.
I really hope that something can happen. It'd be fun to, you know, hear them on relays. That'd be really great to have a return on shortwave, at least for relays.
I don't care how it gets out there. Just get it out there, whichever way possible.
So we have some news for sports fans that are probably going to be left in the dark. Blue Jays fans left in the dark as Sportsnet blows up broadcast plans. So this is by Rob Longley, Toronto Sun. The sound of summer are about to get muted and distorted for a passionate Blue Jays fan base enthused about an ambitious offseason from the up-and-coming club. And as rough as the broadcast plans for the regular season are going to be, it will be nothing compared to the sounds of silence emanating from the spring training. Sportsnet finally got around to announcing its broadcast plans for the 2021 Jays, such as they are, and the coast-to-coast fan base that is so integral to the brand won't like what they're about to hear, or not hear, as is the actual case. Developments that do not sit well with the Jays, a corporate brother of Sportsnet under the mammoth Rogers Communications umbrella. Perhaps the biggest blow comes with the announcement that Rogers is effectively getting out of the business of radio broadcasts of the team. Wiping out the show for that so many years has been a dependable lifeline for 162 days and nights per year. Instead of having the traditional radio feed, complete with its own crew working in their own tempo and verbal painting of the visuals, Rogers has decided to simulcast its TV broadcast onto the radio. It's a silly cost-cutting measure that has the possibility of seriously compromising the overall quality of the content, and that's without even attempting to decipher the corporate strategy here. Under that Rogers corporate umbrella, the Jays are a valuable asset and one on the rise. It's almost as if someone decided that there is no ticket to sell at Rogers Center this year, so screw the fans. Consider it done, and judging by the early reaction, consider them angry. The Sportsnet decision makers won't waste any time sticking it to those loyal supporters either. Anxious to see how George Springer and other newcomers look in the Grapefruit League action, or how Kevin Biggio looks at third base, or what the trimmer Vlad Guerrero Jr. looks like. Not going to happen. There will be no radio broadcast through the majority of the 28-game exhibition schedule, either on the air or on the web, leaving a huge void for the fan of one of the most intriguing teams in baseball this spring. So this is what, you know, the continuing of other, from another company. You know, last week we talked about Bell and how they change things and have, you know, TV broadcasts go on the air on the radio. And now it's kind of the same thing happening here with sports, where they're going to actually use, you know, the TV broadcast, which is totally different. I mean, you need to have a visual story told to you when you're listening to the radio of the game. And because it's a TV broadcast, I don't think they're going to have the same details in that visual story.
Baseball on radio is one of those sports that really works well on radio. It's a slow game. There's lots of, you know, gaps between plays and between pitches. And the broadcasters that do radio broadcasts of baseball are skilled at filling those gaps in the play-by-play, you know, whether it's with trivia, whether it's with, you know, little anecdotes about somebody on the team or things going on in the stands. If you watch it on TV, that sort of thing doesn't happen in the broadcast.
No.
Take that audio and put it on radio without the accompanying picture. I just don't see how fans are going to even really follow what's going on the field. So this is, you know, I understand, again, this has got to be a big cost saving for them, not having to have a separate team doing TV and a separate team doing radio. But how are the listeners going to react to this? I think when they say they're angry, I think that's maybe an understatement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just incredible. You know, cost saving, yeah, okay, but there is a minimum that you got to bring up if you want to keep the fans listening.
Yeah, I think it's really diluting the product a lot, and we're seeing it with the newscasts as well. It's the same sort of deal. We moved next to Australia. Via Southgate Amateur Radio News, we have a story called Radio Australian Air Force. From modest beginnings in 1921, the Royal Australian Air Force has grown into a potent world-class air force, which Australia relies upon in both conflict and peace. The men and women of the Royal Australian Air Force have achieved great success in serving Australia and its national interest over the past 100 years. The RAAF was formed on the 31st of March 1921. To mark this centenary, the Wireless Institute of Australia will be celebrating with two special amateur radio call signs, Victor India 100 Alpha Foxtrot, 100 days between March 1st, so this is already underway, and May the 29th. That will be used by a team of radio amateurs across the bands from Australia. And Victor Kilo 100 Alpha Foxtrot between March 1st and August 31st will be used by radio amateurs that either current or veteran military personnel and some activities may be from military bases. Stuart Birkin, VK8NSB, will be organizing the event that will be aired by many radio amateurs across Australia as they celebrate this centenary with you. Numerous radio amateur operators have volunteered to assist with operating the special events call signs to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Air Force in Australia. There are 44 operators so far. They have operators from all Australian states and territories on the list who will be active on all bands and modes over the period of the call signs being on air. They'll also have a commemorative four-sided QSL that will be printed for direct QSL requests. And we'll post the links for getting these special QSLs for both of the stations. And all of the information will be available about Air Force 100 on airforce2021.airforce.gov.au.
This is going to be a lot of fun to try to monitor.
Yeah, we don't hear Australian hams a lot. It's just a weird timing and a weird path for us to hear them. So this will certainly draw a lot of attention. Watch the various spotting sites for postings of people logging these stations, and that might help you track them down. And hopefully the signals will propagate from Australia so that we can hear some of these special stations.
Yeah, here on the East Coast, usually Australia is a 20-meter band on the late afternoons, early evenings, probably one of the best times on the day. And the morning also, 40 meters, probably early morning, is another great band for Australia. But it's amateur radio, so, you know, they don't have the big power of the big international stations, so it's a little more difficult, but it's a nice challenge, actually. So talking about challenge, this week was very challenging in the radio listening, with the sun being actually throwing some solar wind at us, and we had a couple of geomagnetic storms, actually. There was a lot of unsettled conditions. On Monday, there was a G1 class geomagnetic storm. It quieted down. Then another one came through, a G2 class this time. So that created a lot of interference in our listening. The stations, east-west stations, were almost all gone. I mean, Radio Romania, which usually gives a good signal here, was super weak for a couple of days. But north-south signals were really good. I was hearing Brazil better than ever, and stations from Central South America that are usually weak, even HCJB on that 6050 frequency that usually is okay, but now is much stronger, actually. You could easily listen to that Ecuadorian music and kind of go back in time a little bit in nostalgia with that. So there's, of course, two sunspots on the sun right now, solar flux hovering at around 80, 81. And there's more solar wind on the way. There's a coronal hole on the solar disk, and that will create more unsettled conditions and possibly some geomagnetic storming once again. March is actually one of the times of the year where, when we're close to the equinox, where solar wind has much more effect on the geomagnetic field of the Earth. So that's one of the reasons why it actually have geomagnetic storms with the solar wind right now. So conditions will be unsettled to possible more geomagnetic storming, but you know what? Turn on that radio and listen. It's the best way to see what is on the air.
This is Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
So Portuguese music on the radio must now make up 30% of the station's playlist. This is by TPN Lusa, the Portugal News. The increase of the minimum mandatory quota of Portuguese music in the radio music program to 30% was announced on January 14th by the Minister of Culture, Graça Fonseca, with the objective of increasing the dissemination of Portuguese music and its appreciation for the benefit of authors, artists, and producers. Graça Fonseca recalled all the time that the quota had remained unchanged since the beginning of its application when its tutelage was scheduled for its annual review. The 2006 radio law foresaw a share of Portuguese music between 25 and 40% for general stations. The day after the announcements, the Portuguese Broadcasting Association and the Christian Inspired Radio Association spoke out against the measure, claiming its ineffectiveness, lack of dialogue, and criticizing the lack of government support for the media and radio in particular. The Portuguese Phonographic Association and the Association for the Management and Distribution of Rights were satisfied with the decision they considered a positive and important step for the music sector. Days later, the groups Renascença and Media Capital Radios, in an open letter to the Minister of Culture, Graça Fonseca, considered the increase to 30% in the minimum share of diffusion of Portuguese music an ineffective, unfair measure which does not solve the problem of artists. At the end of January, more than 450 Portuguese musicians and songwriters, who have been joined in the meantime by hundreds more, signed into a statement in which they appealed to the public to listen to their music on the radio, welcoming the increase in the minimum share of music of Portuguese music on the radio to 30%. And there's a list of supporters of many artists that are musicians that are actually into signing into that letter to make sure that this continues. And it's the same as we have everywhere. Every country wants to have at least a minimum amount of content, local content, because I mean, local artists have to navigate into that sea of, English language music, and they want to be heard. And this minimum of 30%, I think it's a pretty fair minimum for content for Portuguese music, I would guess.
That's very similar to the story we had from Poland last week or a couple weeks back, yeah. Where they were trying to do the same thing. So it's good to see that they're trying to find ways to get exposure for their local talent. But you can see the resentment on the part of the radio stations in particular. They want to play what they feel the people want to hear.
Yep.
And in many cases, that's not their local artists, but international talent, particularly, European, British, and American talent. So
yeah.
We'll probably see more of those types of stories coming. This is an interesting story as we head to Ireland. The RTE to cease radio transmissions on the DAB network comes from Sinead Crowley, the news correspondent in RTE Ireland. RTE is to cease transmission of its radio services on the Digital Audio Broadcast Network on March the 31st. However, its digital radio services RTE Gold, 2XM, Radio 1, Extra, Pulse and RTE Junior Radio will remain available on other platforms. In a statement, the broadcaster said the move to cease DAB transmission was driven by three main factors. The fact that DAB was the least utilized platform in Ireland, that RTE is the only Irish broadcaster on the DAB system, and cost avoidance. A public information campaign will be held to show customers how they can continue to access the digital stations. In 2019, RTE had announced that its digital radio services would cease transmissions as part of cost-cutting measures. However, although the DAB service will stop in March, the stations will now still be available on other platforms. The broadcaster said this is due to the value audiences still derive from them. The latest JNLR report, Digital in a Radio World, compiled by Ipsos MRBI, found that while 8% of the population in Ireland, or about 330,000 people, are accessing radio stations via digital means, the smallest number in this cohort opt for DAB. According to the report, just under 5% of adults in Ireland listen to radio via a mobile device, 2% only listen on a PC, around 1.5 listen on a smart speaker, and 0.6 listen on a TV set, and 0.5 to DAB. 77% of adults in Ireland listen to radio, guess where? On the radio, on FM. For details on how to continue to listen to RTE, they have a website set up, rte.ie/keep listening.
This is a perfect example of how digital radio isn't really taking on everywhere. There are places that it's taking on purely because it was forced, you know, like Norway. They right. just gave a date and that's it. You got to be there or you won't hear anything. But places that don't do that, that don't give any dates for ending regular analog transmissions, it shows that the digital audio broadcasting, or even here in North America, the HD radio format, is just not taking on, and people aren't interested in that.
I was glad to see that they're paying attention to the numbers and doing something about it, rather than just saying, oh yeah, you know, people will come around to it, just give it time. Just 77% of adults listening to radio on radio, that should tell you right there that the other systems are not catching up.
No, you got to buy a new radio basically most of the time to get DAB. So people are just like, no, I can still listen to the good old FM band. Why should I invest in a new radio?
Exactly. Off we go to New Zealand next.
Yep. New Zealand regulators' view of RF pollution. This is via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. New Zealand's radio spectrum management says the RF spectrum has become an important economic resource, but its usefulness is diminished by pollution. RSM has produced a compliance guide to give radio spectrum users and suppliers of electrical and radio products information about compliance requirements, compliance audits, and enforcement. RSM supports the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment objective to grow New Zealand for all, and by making sure the spectrum is clean and by maximizing its use. Ensuring that licensing and product compliance requirements are met is crucial to achieve this objective. So there's a radio spectrum management compliance guide. We'll share the link. RSM has produced an information leaflet regarding unrestricted two-way radios. The leaflet also can be downloaded. Once again, we'll share the link. There's an ongoing campaign to stop the people from using prohibited equipment, in particular unrestricted two-way radios. And we know that these are easy to find on the online, actually. So there's also a little leaflet that they have called Beware the Illegal Two-Way Radios. So this is nice. They're trying to tackle interference on the bands in all sorts of ways, even giving a spectrum compliance guide to kind of help maybe manufacturers deal with how much radio emissions their own devices will create. So I hope every country in the world should have that, and especially China.
Yeah, that would solve a lot of problems right there. If the equipment coming out was up to standards, it would eliminate without anybody having to do anything. Just yep. Turn the radio on and you know, things would work and turn on the other products and they wouldn't affect the radios.
Absolutely.
But I think we're a long way away from that happening, though. To wrap things up today, we have a rather lengthy list of upcoming ham radio contests for next weekend. Starting with the Indonesian Amateur Radio Organization is holding the YBDXRTTY contest. That is a 24-hour contest, 0-100 to 2359 Zulu on March the 13th. And it's for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in other countries and in particular in Indonesia. It's 80 through 10 meters, and we'll put up the link for that, as we will for all of these upcoming contests.
There is the RSGB Commonwealth Contest. This is from 10 hours Zulu to March 13th to 10 hours Zulu March 14th, sponsored by the Radio Society of Great Britain. So I guess by Commonwealth, it means that it will also include Canada and other of the other countries of the Commonwealth. CW only, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz.
We have the Straight Key Century Club sponsoring the Straight Key Century Club Weekend Sprintathon, 1200 Zulu March 13th to 2359 Zulu March 14th. CW only. Participants may sprint on 160 through 6 meters, excluding the work bands.
There's the AGCW QRP contest. This is sponsored by the German Telegraphy Group. And goes on from 14 to 20 hours UTC March 13th. And worldwide mode is QRP only, which is low power, and CW 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters.
There is a QSO party coming up for Oklahoma, sponsored or organized, I should say, by K5CM, Connie Marshall. It's 1400 Zulu March 13th to 2100 Zulu March 14th. It is all the standard bands, HF, but also a 50 megahertz band. It's phone, CW, and digital, but no FT8 allowed. If you're looking for Oklahoma stations on the bands, that's the place to find them.
There's the Stu Perry Top Band Challenge, 15 hours Zulu March 13th to 15 Zulu March 14th. It's sponsored by the Boring Oregon Amateur Radio Club. Bands and modes, 160 meters only on CW.
The Union of Spanish Radio Aficionados will hold the EA PSK 63 contest, 1600 Zulu March 13th to 1600 Zulu March 14th. The bands 10, 15, 20, 40, and 80, maximum 50 watts, and the mode is PSK 63.
The Quarter Century Wireless Association is having its QSO party from 18 Zulu March 13 to 18 Zulu March 14. Modes CW, digital, phone, and mixed. Digital modes are included within the CW category. The bands 160 through 6 meters except the work bands.
I have another QSO party. This one is for the state of Idaho, sponsored by the Magic Valley Amateur Radio Club in Twin Falls, Idaho. 1900 March 13th to 1900 Zulu March 14th. It is a phone, CW, and digital, or any combination of those. No FT8, and it runs 160 through 10 meters.
And finally, the North American Sprint RTTY contest, 23 Zulu March 13th to 03 Zulu March 14th. So it's just a 4-hour event sponsored by the National Contest Journal. The mode, radio teletype, RTTY only, and the bands 80, 40, 20, and 3580, 7080, and 14080 kilohertz suggested.
That's a lot of contests. So you'll have plenty of action on the bands next weekend if you're into amateur radio, either communicating or just listening as a shortwave listener as well. And I'm surprised a number of them having the bands extended to the 6-meter band.
Yep, that's really interesting. And there's been a lot of 6-meter activity lately. So maybe that's one of the interests there also, to get more people up to the band. A lot of transceivers, HF transceivers, also include the 6-meter band now as one of their bands that you can transmit on.
All right. So that should keep you busy. And we'll post up all the links to the rules and regulations for all of these contests with all the times and details again for you.
Yep.
that is going to do it for us this week. We thank you for tuning in. You can catch us again every week on CKUT 90.3 FM at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 15:30 UTC for now.
Yeah.
That will be changing to 14:30 shortly. We'll give you all the details on that when it happens. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Radio Canada International.
Radio-Canada International.
Intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19. Because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT Radio, Community Radio, CKUT.ca, CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Esto es únicamente una prueba. Uno, dos, uno, dos.
In Montreal.
CKUT. All the rhythms, all the music, all the time.
90.3 FM.
United Nations.